This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There has been much talk of income inequality lately. President Obama, congressional leaders, economists of varying stripes have all been engaged on that issue. An outgrowth, it seems reasonable to say, of Occupy Wall Street and the days when the 1% and the 99% were very much in the vernacular. There is some new research out, actually, some surprising new research, I should say, about that 1%. Our wealth and poverty reporter Chrissy Clark has been looking into it.
Back when we were hearing a lot of this chant,
we are 99%!
A guy named Mark Rank started paying attention to the assumptions that seemed to be buried in that chant. Who exactly was the 99%? And what was their relationship to that increasingly notorious 1%? The whole debate struck Rank as very us versus them.
That they are static groups, and there's that image out there that, you know, those two groups do not cross over.
Rank is a professor of social welfare at Washington University, and he decided to see if this static image of the 1% and everyone else was true. In a new book called Chasing the American Dream, Rank and a colleague looked at four decades of data that followed the lives of thousands of Americans to see how much money they made each year. And what they found surprised them.
There actually is this really strong sense of fluidity in terms of folks entering the top income percentiles.
The top earners club isn't quite the bastioned, unreachable world that it's been painted out to be. According to Rank's research, one in five Americans are in the 2% at some point in their lives, and one in eight spend at least a year in the 1%. So who are they?
Hi. Nice to meet you, too. Hello.
Some might be your neighbors.
We don't want the neighbors to know what we have in here. They don't know. No one knows.
Barrett Aretsian lives in a totally nondescript condo in Glendale, California, the same one he grew up in. As a kid, he was solidly middle class. His mom owned a little Armenian bookstore. Money was sometimes tight. He was on scholarships at UCLA and then struggling to make it as a songwriter and producer. But then, a few years ago, this song he wrote in his bedroom... It's called Jar of Hearts, and it got played on the TV show So You Think You Can Dance.
No, I can't take one more step towards you.
It was a hit, a big hit.
And everything changed.
Including his income. That year, Aretsian catapulted into the 1%, but he tries not to live like he has.
Don't get me wrong, I go to Hawaii every year, and I pretty much financially am in a very comfortable position. I think that's the big difference, is you just have that comfort.
For another recent arrival to the 1%, an iPhone app developer named Jason Lawn, the surprising thing about being at the top is that it doesn't always feel like the top.
The 1%ers we think of, you know, spend $10,000 on a commode. If you're making $340,000, you're not going to waste $10,000 on something like that.
Lon says he actually asked his accountant about trying to make some smart financial decisions, taking advantage of tax loopholes, things like that. And his accountant told him he wasn't rich enough.
You're not connected enough to try to hide your assets in such a way. You can't afford the overhead.
Another thing about the new research about the 1%, one in eight Americans might visit the 1% for a year, but only one in 100 stay there for more than a decade. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.